Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about cookies, or perhaps cookies and cupcakes. Boy, would I like to eat that kind of stuff. I think I'm just going to play hooky from work. I'm going to skip out of here and head down to my local bakery and get some cookies and some cupcakes, but I'm not that irresponsible. And that stuff can be quite fattening, so I'm going to resist that temptation. But we are talking about Cheryl Ma, who did set up her own company called Cookies and Cupcakes. And today we're going to talk about how you can do this if you're good at baking or cooking or whatever, and how you might consider setting up your own business.
This is great. If you aren't interested in baking, there's still some tips in here if you're interested in setting up your own business. I live on Huffing, and there is a tiny little shop near Fuxing. There's a European gentleman who has a little bake shop. I still haven't had a chance to talk to him. Every time I walk by, it's too late and he's closed. But he does have cookies and cakes, and I've seen little tiny loaves of bread that he makes. But I'm always curious about how he does it. I don't think he bakes on site. I think he must bake in his apartment and then bring the stuff. But it's fun to see people start up their own business. It's very hard to get started. But if you've got lots of word of mouth, meaning people who have been there really like what they see and they taste and they tell their friends, that's the best kind of advertising. So hopefully business will continue to be good for him. I hate to see new businesses close down.
Me too. It's kind of interesting that you mentioned that. It seems like a lot of foreigners who live in Taiwan try to set up small businesses, cooking various things baking cookies or bread. There was this DJ guy I knew who could bake bread, and another guy who made cookies and opened up a shop in Gongguan, et cetera, et cetera.
He had good brownies.
Yeah, I'm supposed to not eat that stuff. It's too high in sugar.
But I know.
I wish they'd open some stores with health food or something like that. But, whatever. You might recognize a market demand somewhere and decide to open your own business. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about running your own bakery business. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson right now, and then we'll talk about it. If you enjoy baking, chances are that you've given some serious consideration to running your own bakery business. But how can you ensure it'll be a successful one? Here are some tips. First, figure out your business model. You may know how to bake numerous kinds of cookies, but you should limit your ambitions until you've established yourself in the market. Having a strong identity will help you stand out, so pick your best creations and concentrate on mass producing those. Since you'll need to package each batch of cookies in their own unique way, having too many options is a recipe for disaster. Next, make sure you are following all the necessary regulations. This could mean buying a second set of business baking equipment so that it can be kept separate from your home kitchen utensils. You'll also need to know and follow any rules regarding food safety and ingredients. What's more, you will have to register your business and consider things like licenses, taxes, and insurance. Finally, think about how you're going to market yourself. You'll need at least one social media account, but more importantly, people need to sample your tasty treats. One great idea is partnering with local independent coffee shops. If their customers like your cookies and other goods, word will start spreading. Running your own baking business is a huge challenge, but if you're prepared to put in the work, you may well meet with success.
Wow, this has some really great tips or advice on starting your own business, especially any type of food business. The first paragraph says, if you enjoy baking, chances are that you've given some serious consideration or thought to running your own bakery business. But how can you ensure or make sure it'll be a successful one? And then some tips are offered. Notice here in the title, guys, you've got a very famous idiom that says success is a piece of cake. We hear this particular idiom used quite often in Taiwan. Don't use it too much because it gets old. People get tired of hearing it. I was just saying to Tom before the program started, I don't even use this idiom. But yeah, I hear it lots and lots and lots. I know it's an easy one to remember. Try to come up with some different ones for some variety. Anyway, if you enjoy baking, and I don't bake much. I don't really have an oven, but my roommate in New York City loved to bake. She would bake bread almost every day. And that is not easy to do. Bread sometimes doesn't cooperate. You know, she wouldn't bake the easy stuff. Cookies are pretty easy, let's be honest. But the bread, that's tough. But she was always giving away loaves of bread to friends. It was kind of her way to say, I love you. I care about you. Have some bread.
Yeah, I suppose it takes a lot of practice, a lot of trial and error until you get it right. Now that you mentioned baking, I don't think I've tried to bake anything since I was in eighth grade.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, back in eighth grade, we did an exchange in the school. Usually the boys take shop classes,
right.
You know, how to do woodworking and metalworking. Mm-hmm. And the girls take home ec classes.
Home
economics, right. And there was a time when, for a semester, the boys and the girls switched. So the boys took home ec courses. We learned how to sew a little bit and how to bake things.
The guys love that stuff.
Yeah, actually the guys really got into that. I thought it was quite interesting.
I didn't like shop though, Tom.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, I'm not sure how the girls felt about that, but yeah, we did that exchange. So basically the point is that I haven't baked cookies since I was in eighth grade, but I don't know, maybe I could try it again.
Do you have an oven in your current home?
Well, we got one of those kind of
toaster ovens
or something.
Oh, it's a toaster oven.
We bought it at Costco or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It serves like an oven, but yeah, I'm not really too experienced at that. Maybe I could try it sometime.
I could give you some recipes.
Okay, or I could get some online or something.
Oh, yeah.
But we do know a lot of people who enjoy baking, so if you enjoy baking, like making cookies and pie and cake and stuff like that, chances are that you've given some serious consideration to running your own bakery business. Yes, indeed. There are bakeries all over Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
People here love pastries.
Yeah.
They love to buy bread and rolls and things like that.
So and they're you might delicious.
So you might be thinking, there might be some market opportunity there. I could make some money as well. So maybe you have given some serious consideration to running your own bakery business.
I mentioned a cupcake shop during the first day of this unit. It's called the Cupcake Shop. It's on Zhengxiaodong Lu, and it's quite good. The reason she started her little cupcake business, her name is Roz, is that she wanted a particular frosting that we have in America called cream cheese frosting. It is delicious. It's not too sweet. She takes some of the sugar out, so the Taiwanese will love them too. She is Taiwanese, spent a good portion of her life growing up in America. So she likes both taste buds. You know, the Taiwanese who don't like too much sugar in desserts, and then the Americans that love sugar in desserts. So the Cupcake Shop, check that out. She's on Facebook. So you might already know how to bake some things, but you should limit your ambitions until you've established yourself in the market. Sometimes people open up a shop and they offer too much, or they open up a restaurant and they have too many dishes. And if you do too much, it's a pretty easy way to fail quickly, so don't do that too much. Have a strong identity. If you have a strong identity, people know about you, they know who you are, what you represent, and that's really important, and you definitely want them to be saying good things so that you stand out. So here's some advice: is pick your best creations. You know, only offer what you do really, really well, and concentrate on mass producing those. To mass produce just means to produce something in large quantities, mass production. Usually when we're talking about mass production, you're talking about products that are made in these huge factories with machines. But here, no, you could do some mass production just by having your family help you in the kitchen and your friends, and then doing, you know, dozens and dozens of cupcakes or cookies at one time. That's mass producing something.
Indeed. So, yeah, we've all seen brownies and donuts and bread and stuff like that. If you've seen one brownie, you've seen them all. So you need to be unique. You need to be special. You need to have a strong identity. And then you can stand out and, again, concentrate on your special products and mass produce those. And maybe later on you can introduce new products. Now, since you'll need to package each batch of cookies in their own unique way, having too many options is a recipe for disaster. Now, when you bake cookies, for example, you don't just bake one at a time.
No.
You would be baking for several days if you did that. You bake in batches. A batch is just a group of things that come out at the same time. I remember when I baked cookies in eighth grade, I think one batch had about 20 cookies or so. You put little dollops of dough on the cookie sheet, and then you stick it in there for, what, 10 minutes or something?
Yeah.
And then you have about 20 cookies in one batch.
We use batch as a measure word. Like, you guys have measure words, so this should be something that you understand. A batch of laundry. My mom would say, oh, I did 10 batches of laundry today. So it's kind of a group of something. A batch of cookies, a batch of laundry. Maybe you have some batches of documents that got sent to your company. Batch is, again, a measure word. So, yeah, you'll need to cook them in big batches so that you don't have to be in the kitchen forever. Having too many options, it says, is a recipe for disaster. A recipe for disaster is a phrase we use when you've got all of the ingredients or elements for a mess, a failure. So, yeah, it's a recipe for disaster. Having too many young children in the kitchen with you while you're trying to cook can be a recipe for disaster. They tend to put their hands in things they shouldn't. Now, moving on to the next paragraph, it says, next, make sure you're following all the necessary regulations. This is pretty important, guys. If you start your own business, you better know what the laws are. A regulation here is probably some of those rules or laws that the city or state or even federal government put into place. You have to obey the rules. You can't just be selling things wherever you want. That's what happens when people sell their goods or their items on sidewalks here, but the police come along, they get a ticket because they're not following the regulations. They don't have a business license. That's kind of tough, you know? It takes some money to set up your business. It's not just maybe a storefront or buying the ingredients or things you need to make your product. You actually have to get some insurance. You have to get a business license. You have to pay taxes. There's a lot of stuff you have to do.
Exactly. And of course, you're just starting out, so you don't want a government inspector walking into your business and saying, hey, you didn't do this. I'm going to give you a really big fine here.
Yeah.
And that will cause problems for your new business. You may actually have to close shop earlier than you wanted to. So do your research. Go to the library. Go online. Find out what those regulations are. Talk to your friends. Talk to other people who have done this and make sure you're doing it right. Now, this could mean buying a second set of business baking equipment so that it can be kept separate from your home kitchen utensils. So this might be an interesting regulation here. They may have some laws that say you need to use special baking equipment only for businesses. You can't use this stuff at home, or you can't use the equipment that you use at home at your business. You have to keep them separate. Utensils just refers to the things you need to cook things. Usually utensils for eating would include your fork, your knife, and your spoon. But for baking, it might also include things like your spatula or your ladle or other things like that.
Right. So you'll also need to know and follow any rules regarding food safety and ingredients. What's more, here's something else you gotta do. You'll have to register your business and consider things like those things we mentioned, taxes, licenses, and insurance. Now, if you register something, guys, typically it means you go somewhere official, like a government office, and you sign up for permission to do something, so you apply for permission. So that's what you've got to do. You've got to register your business. So your business will actually be registered with the government, so people can check and see if you're official or if you're trying to sneak around some of these regulations and open business without permission. A license, again, is just official permission so that you can do business in a certain industry. And also taxes. We hate taxes, but you gotta pay them. Mm-hmm. And insurance. If someone eats a cookie and chokes and maybe has some horrible thing happen, they could sue you and you would have to pay that person a lot of money because you're responsible for producing, you know, good quality food. It's not always your fault. McDonald's gets sued all the time. You know,
sure.
If someone spills coffee on their lap, they sue McDonald's like McDonald's. It's their fault that that person spilled their coffee. But you have to have insurance so that when bad things happen, your insurance company can help pay for the reimbursement that people are looking for.
Yep, and that's all part of doing your research and knowing what you have to do so you don't get in trouble.
Right.
And finally, think about how you're going to market yourself. To market yourself means that you let everybody know about your business and about your product and encourage those people to buy your product or service. So yeah, how are you going to market yourself? How are you going to let other people know that you're there? You'll need at least one social media account. So maybe a Facebook page or Instagram or whatever. But more importantly, people need to sample your tasty treats. Indeed, you can't eat samples of cookies on a social media website. You can see pictures, that's great, but ultimately people want to eat those things. They want to try them, so you've got to figure out a way to get those people to try or sample your tasty treats. Notice here sample is being used as a verb to sample something, but it can also be a noun. Here, try a sample of my cupcakes.
Now, one great idea that our author put in this is to partner or talk to some local coffee shops and see if they're willing to sell your product in their coffee shop so that other people get a taste of it, get a look at it. I think that's a great idea. If their customers like your cookies or other goods, maybe their muffins, maybe their brownies, word will start spreading. And that's where we get to this word of mouth. It's great to have people talking about your product. That's free advertising for you. Running your own baking business is a huge challenge. This is true. But if you're prepared to put in the work, you may well meet with success. So good luck, guys, who are thinking about this out there. We wish you all the best. We've got a couple discussion questions here, Tom.
Okay.
We're going to look at those right after we listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, my name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看第三单元。我们之前在对话里面有访问一位成功的烘焙师。那我们这一篇文章今天的主题就是要告诉大家，如果你是烘焙界的新手，你要创业的话，有哪些注意的秘诀跟技巧。文章的第一段就提到说，要怎么成功，有一些技巧的。Here are some tips.我们这样说就表示以下就会有几个点。那我们也注意到文章里面接下来这三个段落就很有顺序的告诉你，第一点 first， 接下来一点 next， 然后最后一点 finally。 这也就是我们在写作的时候应该要注意的。那要帮助你的逻辑顺序很清楚，让读的人看得懂的话，这些转折词是必要的。那既然要谈Some tips, 也就是技巧秘诀。第一点他说到 Figure out your business model, 你要先找出你的营运模式。文章就提到说，可能你是可以做各种不同的饼干等等等，不过他要提醒创业的人不要太大的野心。你要有特色，就应该要选几个你最好的作品。我们看到这边告诉大家 Having a strong identity will help you stand out。 我们先看这句啊，他说你呢有一个强烈的特色，这个主词部分看到了吗？这是一个动名词片语，我们用动名词片语来当主词，要记得它是单数的哦。好，这一件事会帮你脱颖而出，然后呢你就应该要选你最好的作品，然后就是专注大量生产，这样子那就能够建立你的特色。好咯，那这边注意到下面提到说，由于说你要有 这种独特的方式去包装你的饼干，所以如果你选太多，做 A 又做 B 又做 C 这样子的话，其实是什么 A recipe for disaster， 这个片语其实蛮有趣的。当你说 recipe 是食谱，可是你说这些这样做法是一种制造灾难的食谱，意思就是说这样做啊，那真的是会后患无穷。好，再来就是这句话本身的主词，我们注意到了 having too many options。 我们前面提到动名词片语当主词是单数，那这个地方 having too many options， having too many options 这个其实就是一个动名词片语当主词，所以我们知道这个句型真的很重要。好，再来提完了第一点之后呢，接下来第二个技巧，他说到 next， make sure you're following all the necessary regulations， 这一点是什么？就是你要遵守必要的规定。哪些是应该遵守的必要规定呢？下面当然他依照他的层次讲了几点。第一个呢，他就是说，比如说你用的器具，记得应该要有一个特别在商用的一个烘焙的设备，不要跟你家用厨房的用具混在一起。好，那当然他后面又提到了还有什么呢？好，转折词 also 表示除了刚刚那个之外， you also need to， 你还需要怎么样？还需要了解遵守任何有关食品安全和食材的规定。好，注意到这里还有一个字，就是 regarding 这个，当然我们看起来像是一个动名词哦，其实它意思就是和什么相关，有关于。有时候你会用另外一个字 concerning， regarding， concerning 都像是 about， 好，有关什么，食物安全还有这个食材部分的规定。好，接下来这之外还有什么？What's more， 好，这又是一个转折词，也就是这几点其实都包含在这第二段里面，它一层一层说给你听。所以 What's more， 此外啊，记得哦，你要注册你的公司，然后呢像证照啦、税收、保险等等，这些都是要注意的。好，再来下一段 Finally， 这当然也就是最后一点了，最后一点就是要告诉你要怎么行销，这点很重要。所以 Marketing yourself， 做行销，那他提了几个点，其中他有说到 One great idea is partnering with local independent coffee shops， 这个地方注意到partner 本来我们通常当名词哦，这个地方它是动词，就是和谁一起合作，所以它这边加了 ing， 这又是什么呢？当你用一个 ing， 这里就又是一个动名词片语了。 partnering with local independent blah blah blah， 这个动名词片语在这里放 be 动词后面，是一个主词补语的位置，所以动名词片语非常好用。他说啊，跟当地的独立咖啡厅合作，这可是个好点子。好，总而言之，最后就是告诉大家，这个经营烘焙事业是一个很大的挑战，做好准备再投入，这样子的话 You may well meet with success， 你很可能就会成功。好，我们今天讲解就到这边，我们下次空中相会。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, it's time for our discussion questions for today. And again, we're talking about starting a baking business, but of course you don't need to do just that. You might have some other hobbies or special skills that you might turn into a business. So here's the question. Do you have any hobbies that could be turned into a business? And what are they?
I don't think it's a hobby, but I've often thought about starting to write songs. I sing a lot of kids' songs in Taiwan for different companies, and I thought, I can write music. You know, I could do that too.
But a couple of my friends do it, and I don't want to take work away from them either. So that's one thing. What about you, Tom? Have you ever thought about turning a hobby into a business?
Certainly. Many years ago, of course, when I first came to Taiwan, I had difficulty finding clothes in my size.
Right.
Okay, I got sick and tired of asking if they had 3XL or something like that. So I decided I'm going to solve this problem myself. I'm going to take sewing classes. So I studied sewing for a long time, and now I'm able to make my own shirts and things like that.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
a little bit.
I'll let you know if I'm kidding or not in just a couple of seconds. But later on, I thought, yes, there might be other large people, not just foreigners, but also locals who can't find clothing in their size.
Yeah, bigger sizes. Yeah.
Yeah, I could specialize in making large size clothing for people and in styles and fashions that are not available locally, especially for Hawaiian style shirts. I've always wanted to have large size shirts that have flowers and paisley patterns all over them, or houndstooth or whatever. So yeah, I could maybe turn that into a business myself. And to answer your question, no, I don't have those skills, but
yeah.
I did think about it at one time, about learning to sew so I could make my own clothes. But who's got time to take sewing classes?
Sounds fun, though. Starting your own business can be a risk. What's one risk you've taken, and did it pay off? I'll answer this while you're thinking, Tom.
Okay.
When I was in New York, I decided that I was going to just focus on singing, and so I was going to work as a temp, a temporary worker. And a couple of my friends were so worried for me because, you know, that's not as secure as a full-time job. But I took the risk, and I was glad I did. I had more time to audition. And when I needed to, if I got into a production, I could quit my temporary job. And, you know, the boss wasn't angry with me. They knew it was a temporary job. So, yeah, it paid off. It doesn't always, but sometimes it can.
Okay, well, yeah, taking a risk. I think I remember when I was a kid, me and the neighbor kid decided to set up a lemonade stand.
Oh, yeah.
But we also heard that, well, technically, that's starting a business. And in my hometown, there was this police officer who just loved to arrest people, no matter how old or how young they were.
Oh.
His name was Handcuff Dan. No matter what you did, if you did something wrong, he put the handcuffs on you.
He liked power.
That's right. So me and this kid, we were only 10 years old at the time. We thought about setting up a lemonade stand.
Uh-huh.
But then we thought of Handcuff Dan, and we thought, I don't want to get thrown in jail just for selling lemonade, just because he wants to, you know, arrest us.
He shut down your business.
Well, no, we were too scared to even start the business.
You didn't even try.
Yeah, uh-huh. So that was too risky. We decided to make our own lemonade inside the house and just give it to our parents and our sisters and our brothers and stuff like that.
That's a popular business for kids in America. I've had a lemonade stand. Kind of fun. Okay, guys, there's some good questions for you to discuss in your group. Hopefully, you'll have a great discussion. Thanks for listening. This is our TOEIC unit. Practice those phrases and words, guys. You'll do better on your test, and you'll do better in life. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.